Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Daniel, and today I have the pleasure of having two brothers here. I'm going to take some time to introduce each of them. I want to first start with Dave Seymour. Now, Dave, you've done a lot of different things. You've done everything from notes, wholesaling to, and now you run a $100 million equity fund, and we have a very good friend in John Dessauer. And you're also a TV show star, Flipping Boston on A&E. And of course, we got my brother from another mother, Mr. Kevin Tuttle, who's actually my primary real estate partner. Him and I own Miatti Partners Capital together. But past the introduction, we've got a lot of things to talk about. Now, I introduced the two of you guys, and I asked the two of you guys to be here as part of our 100,000 subscriber celebration because there's not two guys I can think of more that understands the market who has the experience as you guys do. And of course, Kevin, I'm going to brag on you a little bit because you're one of my close friends. You spent 25 years in the risk equity space, and you've done a lot of great accomplishments. But I want to ask the both of you guys this question because both of you guys are day in and day out in real estate. You guys both have a lot of experience. You guys are both titans in terms of what you do in your field. Let's go ahead and get right to it to kind of prime the conversation in terms of what can we do as real estate investors and the people watching this to prepare for what's going to happen, the inevitable, downturn that's going to occur. What are your guys' thoughts in what's happening right now in the real estate market?
Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. It's the game. Who's going to go first? Well, first of all, Daniel, congratulations on the 100,000 subscribers. That's a major, major milestone.
Yeah, seriously.
It's got to feel good for you, man. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Now, millions next, right? 100,000. The first 100,000 is the hardest. Millions next. So real quick. Looking at the economy in general, not just the housing market, we're in a period of what you would almost consider stagnation. It's crazy out there. We're being floated by more money that's ever been pumped into the U.S. economy than ever before in history. You've got a lot of confusion. Every model on whether it's Wall Street or any independent investor has been tossed out the window. Models don't work anymore. There is no model for this. This is unmodelable. So this is what they call the black swan event. So what do you do during this and what's going to happen in the real estate market? As you said, interestingly enough, it's staying afloat right now. And the question is, how big is the leak in the boat, right? And again, I think that the way we look at directive of the market will be in this stagnation until another event occurs. And Dave alluded to it, and I think we're going to talk about this as it goes on. But Dave, how are you seeing it on your side?
Look, you got it. The whole rule book has been thrown out of the window. And, there's macro mindsets on the market and there's micro mindsets on the market. And we can deploy the same common sense and financial intelligence to both. Macro makes no sense. No GD sense at all, man. I mean, the people out there that are still buying single family homes thinking they're going to flip them in 4 to 6 months and still know what their after repair values are. I mean, it's chaotic. It's absolutely chaotic. On the micro level, I find people with financial intelligence. I find people who have been through a cycle before. And I ask questions. Like, I've been through a cycle. Kevin, you've been through them. We've experienced the downturn in the marketplace. But the rules of the game have changed. Everything. I said this the other day. I was doing some recording in Tampa. We were doing an interview with one of our advisory board members. And I came to this kind of realization, and I think you agree with me, everything that is up is now down, and everything that was down is now up. It's Alice in Wonderland. So that creates that fear scenario. And I always refer to fear as false education or evidence appearing real, right? So people are holding on to what used to be, thinking that's going to carry them through, whereas guys like us, we pivot, take a look at the landscape, determine what the next step is, and then get prepared for it. So it's a scary time for just winging it, for want of a better term. If you're out there doing that, be very, very careful. That's kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah. And then Dave, you alluded to, you know, obviously both you guys have been in the space, in the finance space. You guys have been through a recession, a downturn before. So based on your guys' experience, and I asked this question because I know all three of us have mentors that we talk to on a weekly basis that have been through multiple financial market cycles. So what should we expect? You know, should we expect certain rates to go up and down? Should we expect high default like we saw in 2008? What should we expect here specifically?
Go ahead, Dave.
We're gonna play tennis.
Yeah, we'll go back and forth.
Man. Yeah, look, I know we're in agreement actually. So look, it's real simple. If you are debating in your head because you're too scared to face reality that there won't be a correction, then go get some therapy because you're gonna need it. It's as simple as that. The correction is gonna come. It's gonna come as soon as the forbearances are lifted, as soon as the renters are demanded to pay rent. As soon as the landlords who have been working their business on a very tight margin realize that they can't make the mortgage payment anymore. And as soon as the bank comes knocking on the door, because the bank has boxes to tick and they do not have any boxes for COVID. They don't have them. They've never been created before. So they're going to go to their little checklist and they're going to say, oh no, we got to foreclose on you or bring everything current, bring your loan current. Plus the arrearage. And you know, people can't do it. It's unfortunate that the world is structured the way that it is. But the fact that the paycheck to paycheck mentality has been acceptable in society for generations has created, you know, that separation between wealthy and maybe more financially challenged lives that people live. So the correction's coming. What you do to prepare for it, well, that's your decision to make. Like, I know what I'm doing, and I'm sure Kevin's, you know, got his plans in process. So it's coming, man. The tsunami's coming. I was reading an article that Diana Orlick wrote. She's a CNBC, you know, real estate contributor. She's funny. She just regurgitates existing information. I don't think there's any originality in any of this stuff. You know, you find data, twist it, and make it yours. But, you know, these smaller mom and pop multifamily investors are dying on the vine. They've seen a reduction from, I think it was 93% down to 90% in either partially or no collected rents. And they just see that continuing to snowball. So it's not going to be pretty for sure, but you know, I can't control it. I can just prepare for it.
Well, I guess I'm just going to second what Dave said. So let me interject and circle back around what he said. So let's give purpose and reason to the education to the people on why we think some of this stuff is happening. And Dave he's spot on, right? This is going to happen. You're going to need therapy if you believe that there's no recession coming. And the question is when. It's not if, it's when. And when is it going to hit? You alluded to a couple things, you know, rates. You said you wanted to talk rates and you want to talk default. Those two things right now are going to confuse people because I'm going to tell you rates are going to stay low. So people are going to get excited, but I don't want people to get excited right now. I just want them to really understand what's happening out there and get the underlying factor. So you're talking about default rates. We're going to be in an unprecedented default rate period of time. And one of the things a lot of people don't even understand is that there's a lot of services out there that are have to pay their lenders. I don't know if, you know, there's a lot of your listeners know this, but the servicers of, if I'm Bank of America, I service my own loans. If I'm Wells Fargo, I service my own loans. However, some people, like if I'm SunTrust, I may sell that out and an SPS may be, you know, being my servicer. Well, servicers are still having to pay the lenders, yet there's a forbearance and now they are not getting paid. So when it's lifted that people actually can go through and start foreclosing and short selling and saying, hey, I'm going to demand this. And by the way, we can tack it on to the end, but you need to come back into play. And we still have an economy with an unprecedented number of unemployment. And now all of a sudden, it's 600 to 400 to 200 to zero is going to be what's going to happen on the unemployment line. Now, you add that all up and you say, okay, what's next? And what's next is going to be huge. So what's next is going to be the greatest wave of short sales in the single family resident market that you have ever seen. And what will be there is an opportunity if you understand what this is about. Now, the other thing about the short sale market, it's very philanthropic. You can help people get out of foreclosure, maybe get the moving expenses, get them into a rental place, but it's going to be a huge, massive market. Don't worry about rates. You're never going to, I'm not going to say never. You're not going to see rates go up for a long time. Okay. So don't worry about rates. Rates are going to stay where they're at. They're going to stay low. The economy has to stay presidential election, and we're not going to go into that, doesn't matter because they're all putting all the band-aids on they possibly can in when this is going to happen. I don't care who wins, it's going to happen. And then the other guy's going to get blamed for it, but that's perfect.
Yeah. Right.
So I think that's really the idea is what are your listeners going to take away?
Yeah. And speaking of our listeners, I think a lot of our listeners, you know, they want to know what are you guys doing to prepare for what's coming?
Yeah, great question. Look, sorry, Kevin. I was going to bop back over to you. Go
no,
for
no,
it, man.
No, you're good.
All right.
You're
look, good. I was listening to you and Kev, it's so on point. I just this week spoke to an investor / realtor, right? Primarily an investor. Then they got the realtor license because single family housing is exciting right now, right? And I said to him, I said, look, man, if you ask for my advice, here's your speed of implementation. Be the very, very best realtor who knows how to work short sales. That's what I told him. I just had that conversation yesterday. You know, we did it in 2009, 10, and 11. And the people who learned short sale, loan modification, single family investing did exceptionally well. And as you said, they were philanthropic. So that's what I call a speed move, all right? Because these forbearances and these foreclosures, they felt the pain last time, the banks, they're set up this time to not feel the pain. Like I believe they'll move those a lot faster. So that's speed. Now, the other side of the equation is cash flow. Cash flow, cash flow, cash flow, pay the bills. Cash flow for the investor, cash flow for the for the real estate investors as well as the passive investors. So, you know, preparation for us is to control the capital debt. I want to be in charge of the capital. I want to be my own bank because if I am my own bank, I don't have to play with the same rule book that the restrictions that banks and lenders have, right? So if I'm the bank, I can see an opportunity. We're doing some larger deals, as you know, and the fund is up and running. So we see those opportunities and we can just move fast with hundreds of millions of dollars. And I don't know if you agree with this, Kevin, but my research is showing me that there is unprecedented amounts of dry powder on the sidelines right now. The amount of money that is moved out of fear from its current, you know, investment strategies is now looking for somewhere to go. You know, my responsibility is to wave my hand loud enough so that people know where to put the capital to get the returns. So, you know, a speedy transactional outlook as well as a long-term play, because 5-6 years from now, you'll see who the true winners are. 5 or 6 years from today, you'll see who the true winners are. So those are my takeaways on it. I don't know how you feel about it, Kevin, but.
Yeah, I think well, everything that you're putting together is exactly what we're doing on our side. So short term, you got to look for where you're going to create income in the short term, where you're going to create the opportunity and invest for the long term. And us, just like you, control the capital, raise the capital. You know, we're on our way to running a multi-$100 million hedge fund just like you. And one of the things that, in for the listeners that are on, before this started, we were talking, and Dave mentioned, he says, you know, crisis. So you gotta look at the crisis and what it is. And you know, if you look at the Chinese symbol, it's danger and opportunity together makes the word crisis. And you can never waste a crisis. The greatest wealth in the world is made in a crisis. But be smart. Know where you're gonna go. Know where you're gonna hit. And know how you're gonna hit it. And look at the landscape. And, you know, when you look at the smaller investors and maybe some of your, you know, 100,000 subscribers may be on the smaller end of the investing scale, remember that there's many, many parts. You know, you may find an opportunity to flip and you'd be like, this is fantastic. Look, I can buy this house. I can pick it up for less than it was before. But remember, there's another side to that. You have to get rid of the property. It's got to go somewhere, somebody else, right? So you've got to be careful.
Yeah.
And you've got to look at the market as a whole. You can have all the greatest opportunity in the world. And I can buy all the chocolate I want in the entire world. But if I don't have anybody that wants chocolate, it ain't going to help me, right? So where we look at it is I'm looking in two spaces. I own a short sale company that processes short sales. And what we do is we feed those through either the wholesale space, or let me tell you another great opportunity that I see. I don't know if Dave agrees with this, but the opportunity for the lease option space is going to be tremendous.
Love it. Love
it. It's going to be
philanthropic, good work, good business, good payday. Love it. Awesome.
Everything. And you can do it for very little money out of pocket. If you do it right and you structure them right, there's very little you have to do. You can help people at the same time, get them into home ownership, and you'll make money on the front. You'll make money along the way, and you make money on the end. So there's no better real estate objective that you can have. And then what we do in our lease option business, we also set them up with free credit repair so then they know that they can get the house when it's done. That's on the small end. But if you're a big investor, and like Dave was mentioning, controlling the capital is the name of the game. Think about this. He talks about dry powder. He just mentioned that to you guys. Well, the lending laws, well, the lending regulations are tighter. Everybody's getting scared. So what do? The banks button up their belt. They saw what happened in 08 and 09, and they get spooked really easy. So they tighten the belt straps really quick. So your lending may be a little bit different than it used to be. So you got to prepare, get your investors lined up, make sure you know what you're going to do, talk to your investors, show them risk, show them why the risk has been mitigated. Then you're going to be able to buy in when you see the right opportunity.
Yeah.
Love it.
So we've got lease options. We got, you know, short sales. I'm going to throw owner financing in there because I think it's a long-term rental strategy that you know, kind of mitigates the risk of going through a bank. Are there any other exit strategies or you know, battle strategies that people can implement, our listeners, to take advantage of what's going to occur?
Yeah, one of the things that we did in 08, 09, and you were probably doing the same thing, was we also got very proficient in loan modification strategies prior to the short sale. You know, they fall behind, excuse me, you try and work a loan modification on their behalf, you know, arrearage on the back end, all of the structures that we talked about. There wasn't a lot of capital for us. There wasn't a huge payday for us as investors in loan modification, but it was just good business, man. And it was really good business to take care of these people because they're hurting. And then I don't know what the percentages were, but it was very high that they would fall out of the loan modification program and end up being a short sale anyway. And to your point, Kevin, there was nothing more beautiful than watching people. Look, if you short sell the house, you can't stay in the house. We all know the rules of short sales. But what you can do is lease option them the house around the corner and just move the other family into that house so that they stayed in the same schools, right? The families lived in the same neighborhoods. And it went from, you know, a mortgage that they couldn't afford to a mortgage or a lease payment that they could afford. So those were a couple of really good strategies that we played out as well. And I saw investors do wonderful things in communities in 08, 9, 10, using that exact same strategy. Love it. Love it.
Me, DK, you want me to answer that? So yeah. For your investor group, those are the two primaries in mind. And I think that I'll leave with advice instead of telling you what I'm going to do. So here's my advice. Don't chase two rabbits. You'll never catch them, right? So know what you're going to do. Own that market, own the space in which you're going to operate, and stay in that lane. The lane's going to be huge. Be proficient at it. Be good at it and attack it. Because if you're saying, well, I'm going to lease option, you know what, then I'm going to flip. You know what, I think I'm going to wholesale this out. You know, there's this opportunity. You're all over the board. You'll never be focused, right? So, and yet I say that, and I help run a fund that has seven different divisions in it. So I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't listen to me. But yeah, I you know, again, I think that the opportunity is broad-based. And for those on the senior level, your investors out there that are stepping up their game and their players that, you know, they're well into, you know, 250,000 minimum, you know, 2.5 million, eight figures, they're moving into the real estate space. There's not going to be a better opportunity than multifamily. So what I will lean into is geographics. You've got to know your geographics. Just because I live in Orlando doesn't mean I'm buying in Orlando. Know your farming area and know the business, and you've got a little bit of time. So do your homework and do it now though. I mean, you don't have that much time, so do your homework now.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree. Let's go ahead and move on to the last question. So obviously a lot of you guys have experience, you know, we all run, you know, large real estate operations. We've done very well for ourselves, but to the individual who's watching this and maybe they're at the level where, you know, they have to kind of Google what is a short sale. You know, they have to Google what is a loan modification. And, you know, for the individual that's kind of maybe toying around, I'm willing to bet that's a majority of our listeners right now. you know, what specific action steps would you give to those individuals, right? Like, what would you give to the 25-year-old who, you know, maybe read a couple books on real estate, you know, they need to go to a couple platforms and, you know, they're interested, they want to create success. What are some things that they can do every single day, you know, to take advantage of what's going on and build a successful real estate portfolio? And just so there's no confusion, Dave, why don't we start with you?
Thank you, man. I remember the first time I was interviewed on like a CNBC or a Squawk Box show, that the guy kind of asked me the same question. He was coming from a little bit of an arrogant position, and he framed it under this way. He said, other than get yourself a national TV show to be proficient in real estate, what else could you tell people to do? And I just kind of took it with a grain of salt. And if he was in the room, I would have given him a big bear hug. But basically, here's what I said to him, and I'll say it now, Dan, because it's exactly the same, man. Educate, don't speculate, right? You can find all kinds of ways to learn these things. But here's the one thing that I will say, and I think this is important. And to your point, Kevin, when you were describing like the multitaskers that we tend to be, you're kind of like describing the guy chasing the shiny things. And I think that's part of our DNA as entrepreneurs. You know, we're always looking for the next best thing. But I would say this is that you don't have to know everything to do something, right? People go out there and the fear driver again leads them to look for perfection. Well, perfection is the nemesis, if you will. It's the exact opposite of progress, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm just going to say educate, learn, network. You know, you're part of 100,000 subscribers now to a prominent professional real estate investing network. Leverage that. Leverage it however you can. And the other thing, I think I said this the last time we did a call together, Dan, was this, is that find out what your valuable component is in you, whoever you are. Go home tonight and write a list of 10 things that are good about you that you believe are valuable. For some reason, we're real good at writing a list of all the things we hate about ourselves, right? What would it be like if, you know, I'm great with a computer, I'm great with Excel spreadsheets, I've got a good personality, whatever it is that you do as an individual, write that down and then figure out how you can bring that skill set to the market through, to Kevin's point, short sales, loan modifications. You know, we're running a large fund ourselves. So, you know, we know where the money's going, we've got that experience, but you know, you don't go to bed one person and wake up somebody totally different in 24 hours, right? Put one foot in front of the other, have a little bit of faith and just keep on, keep moving forward. And, you know, that it's such a simple message, but it hasn't failed me in my career. So I'm guessing it's not failed either of you guys either. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, good luck.
Right. Yeah. How about we just end with good luck and go to work?
You know what, Kev, just to jump in, here's one that I love too. And it was a Chinese proverb and it was the definition of luck. Like you talked, I was told that the definition of luck is when preparedness meets an opportunity. Right.
Right.
That's that same definition. It's based in Chinese proverbs, I believe. So, you know, a lot of similarities, man. A lot of similarities.
Perfect.
So over to you.
So, yeah, I'll leave you with some, I don't know if you did this on purpose, but, you know, I run a mastermind of getting your first deal. And, you know, that fear, that fear of overcoming that first step and what rids you of that fear. And one thing is paralysis of analysis, right? Mm-hmm. So, and Dave just said it, you know, do not assume that you are going to be perfect on everything that you do, but you need to take action. And if you don't take action, you're sitting in your chair. You have to do that. And if what's stopping you from taking action is this gut, this feeling that you have inside, and you're like, well, I don't know, maybe I'm going to fail. Well, remember this, is that, you know, failure is the fertilizer that, you know, gives the blossom to the bloom. So, you know, when you're looking at life and you're saying, here's what I need to do, get educated. I don't care how you do it. And I went and I spent a tremendous amount of money getting educated. I knew nothing about real estate, folks, nothing. Zero, right? I was in the hedge fund space and I was a money manager for Wachovia Securities. I mean, I didn't know anything about real estate, but I knew it was a place that I wanted to be. And I went and I got educated. And once I got that, I just initiated and took action. So that's what you have to do. Overcoming your fear and getting the confidence is nothing but practice, talking to as many people as you can. Dave just said it. You know, you are involved with 100,000 subscribers with the Kwok Brothers. Utilize that. understand that those are people that you can talk to and you should be talking to, because that's how you are going to grow, how you can articulate value to the next person. And once you start talking the language, you're going to feel it, and it's going to be very easy to get that foot out the front door. You know, a lot of people sit at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee, looking out the window saying, you know what, I could climb that mountain too. And you know where they are tomorrow morning? Sitting at the same kitchen table. So you got to make a choice, right? You got to get up and walk out the door.
You know what's interesting, Kevin? Or they don't. And then 6 years from now, they look over their shoulder and they go, what the hell just happened? Right? Right. Because they weren't in action, right? Yeah. Implementation, educate and then implement. Love it, man. You've got me all jacked up. I want
to
go.
Right, I'm ready to go. Who's going to work?
Right.
Let's go to work.
Yeah. I think there's that quote, right? It says some people, you know, wish it would happen. Some people make it happen. And then the third person says, what happened?
That's right. That's right. Right.
What just happened? Right. I don't know
exactly
what happened.
Right.
Hillary Clinton said that.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
Sorry.
I love that. Exactly. Well, I thank you so much, both of you guys, for being here. I mean, I genuinely, you know, love and care for both of you. You know, you guys are awesome friends of mine. And, you know, to kind of put my two cents in there in that last question, I'd say do what the three of us are doing right now. You know, have a mastermind, have a network of people who are like-minded, you know, who are all in the same space. You're feeding each other ideas and you're pumping each other's creativity. You're motivating each other and supporting each other. This is the way to do it. You know, I mean, every single one of us here, you know, have great amounts of experience and knowledge and wisdom that we could share with every single one of you. You know, it's time for you guys to do the same thing. So in all sincerity, what about a virtual round of applause to both these guys for joining us? And I'm sure both of you guys, of course, will be joining us in future YouTube videos. And when we have that 1 million, you know, subscriber celebration, I'm definitely going to bring you guys back. You know, whether it's a year from now, 2 years from now, whenever that may be, you know, I definitely want you guys back and we'll do something very similar.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Hey everyone, Daniel Kwok here once again. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the First Deal Experience podcast. If you're wanting to do your first ever deal or scale your existing portfolio, I recently wrote a book to show you how I went from 0 to 75 rental units in just 1 year. Just head over to 0to75units.com for your copy. Again, that's 0to75units.com.